I hope when I share, I want you to realize that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. If at my age it seems as though I'm talking to the past, please, it's not. It's Jesus is today as well and forever. But it was 60 years ago, I was at the finals day at the Duke of York's Barracks, Chelsea. We had made it through to the quarterfinals in Kent. And now, as part of the Downham team, we were in the final of the four by 100 yards in those days. Relay final. We came second. I was also a finalist in the National Bible Reading Competition. As we crossed the line in the final of the relay, somebody said, "Clark, get a move on, it's your turn to read." So I had to hurriedly change, and which I did, but I was still sweating in front of the invigilating committee when I began to read John chapter 3. And, of course, it's a precious portion of the scriptures. And I was reminded of that as I was... that's just the way. But it reminded me of this favourite passage of mine. And the day today, this passage continues and concludes the dialogue between Jesus and Nicodemus, who we were reading about last week. And Andy shared about Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night. Nicodemus, who acknowledged that Jesus, he said of Jesus, "You must have come from God, because no man can do the miracles that you're doing except God is with him." And Jesus responded, you will remember, by saying, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again by the Spirit of God." Jesus continues by referring to the Son of Man. That's a messianic title. He uses at least 81 times of himself. And he says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." And so we continue with today's passage. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what has been done, as it were, through God." Amen. John 3:16 is the most quoted, published, music composed, played and sung about verse of all time. again, because I'm a bit older, it was Kenya, Easter 1958. I got a 3-day pass. And I was sitting in the equatorial sunshine, playing my friend's long play record, Handel's Messiah. I went to turn the record over, and it bent in the heat. Fortunately, it sounded all right when I turned it over. Of course, Handel had been stirred by John 3:16, amongst other verses. Later, I went over to Kajabi High School. Didn't know that Jacqueline was going to go there later, many years later. But I went over there to the main auditorium to hear Stainer's Crucifixion, listening to a tenor voice singing, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." It is the crux of the gospel. Interesting, that word crux, for those of you who know Latin will know anyway, that word means the cross. And so the crux of the matter, taken by the world, if you like, the word they use for the crux of a matter, the central thing of a matter, is the cross. If only our nation and the world realized it today. But it's true. The crux of the matter is the cross of the Lord Jesus. Let's study this, verse 16, by phrase and by line. For God. Who is it who loves the world? It's God. It's our Creator. He is our Redeemer. It's He who has sent His Son. It's God, none other, who loves the world He has created. This is our Father in heaven. For God so loved. The verb agapaio and the noun agape from the Greek. The dictionary states that it is an unconditional love. It's a love by choice and by act of the will. The word denotes, so I'm told in the commentary, unconquerable benevolence and undefeatable goodwill that will never seek anything but the highest good for mankind. And I'm told it is a word that it is exclusively belongs to the Christian community. It is a love virtually unknown to writers outside of the New Testament. Written on the cell wall, old mental asylum, were these words. Could we with ink the ocean fill? Or were the skies of parchment made? Were every pen on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God abroad would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. And those of you who knew him, he died last year at 104, Bev Shea, Billy Graham's choral singer, used to sing that. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure. How measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels' song. God so loved. And as the psalmist put it in Psalm 103, you remember, as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sins from us. That's God's love for you and for me. Doesn't that stir your passion for him? Does it? God of love. So loved. Who did he love? The world. You will remember Jesus' word in the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. Or, I'm told, of every language group. And preach the gospel. The world. That was Jesus' heart for his disciples. To go into all the world. To preach the good news. You may recall me telling you about a group of 17 Christian publishers and translators who at Billy Graham's Amsterdam conference in the year 2000, they committed to getting the gospel to the all. The all were 7,000 outstanding groups, yet unreached. The good news is, as from last week or the week before, it's down to 6,800. And they assure us that they are on target for the whole world to have the scriptures by the year 2020. Isn't that great? Albeit, some of the language groups are down to under 300 people. And it's difficult to get to them because as you try to get to them, they shoot you. So it's a task. But let's pray for it, that the whole world will know. And then I believe after that, you can start saying Jesus is coming. But be ready, he's coming now. Be ready for him. But he said, we're told, then the end will come. The culmination of all of God's plans. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. This reminds me the story of the Lord Jesus. Always I go back. Do you remember the story of Abraham and Isaac? Do you remember? God said to Abraham, he wanted to test him to see whether he really loved him. It was like, what a test. Take your only son, Isaac, do you remember it? And offer him as a sacrifice. And off they go for 3 days, and as they're going, Isaac looks at his dad, because dad's put the wood on his back, and dad's carrying the fire, and so he said, Dad, we got the wood, we got the fire, but where is the lamb for the offering? Can you remember what Abraham's response was? God will provide himself a lamb. I don't think Abraham at that point understood the significance of the himself. He was just confident that even if God allowed him to slay his son, somehow God would raise him up. But he knew God. And we know, we can look back, can't we? And we know it was just an example of what was going to happen in the future. God was going to provide himself, his son, to be the offering for sin for the whole world. The whoever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever, it's open to all. I remember the day in 43 when I put my name in the place of the whoever. Major Shaw Cooper was talking about John 3:16. And I was a kid of six. And he said, you can put your name in there for God so loved Trevor that if Trevor believes in him, excuse me, the old King James, I won't look up there. But if Trevor believes in him, he will not perish, but have eternal life because he believes in Jesus. Wow. I can remember that day and skipping down the high street. As you know, I've told you this before, and I said, Maisie, I'm saved. Didn't know quite what it meant, but I knew something had happened. I had a joy in my life. I remember getting on the platform and having to give my testimony sometime later, and the guy before me, Vic Reed, who went on to be whatever, leader of the Bible College in Belfast, or whatever. I remember saying, before I got up to speak, I don't think young children ever can understand and accept Jesus as Saviour. Then I had to get up and said, I took Jesus as my Saviour when I was six. And it was for real. I've heard of an old prostitute of 80. In Hong Kong. Accepting Jesus. 80. Whoever. Have you put your name in there? Have you put your name in John 3:16? For God so loved. Is your name there? I've had the privilege of sharing John 3. I remember in Ermelo, we did it in three languages. We put it up and I got the kids to come out and read it, either in Zulu or Afrikaans. Did I say that right? John, Afrikaans. And English. And I got children. I said, whose first language? And they got them to come out and then read it in their language. And at the end, one little girl, I'm not sure if she was Afrikaans. I think she was Zulu. And she came out and said, I put my name there. And I remember at Orpington, an older guy thought he was a Christian. He said, but you know, Trevor, it wasn't until you said that I realized I had never, as it were, put my name there. And I know that I'm saved because I believe in the Lord Jesus. Have you put your name there? Do you know this Lord Jesus? Whoever believes. I cut because I'm not a Greek scholar by any means, if at all. Believes. Pistio. The verb form of pistis. Faith. It means to trust, have faith in, be fully convinced of, acknowledge, rely on. It expresses reliance upon a personal trust that produces obedience. It includes submission and a positive confession to the lordship of Jesus. You remember what Paul said in Romans, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Believe shall not perish. Elsewhere, Jesus uses the word destroy, apolume. The New Testament uses that word to describe spiritual destitution, destruction. If you don't know Jesus, say, well, what of it? When I'm dead, I'm done for. I'm sorry. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean annihilation or extinction. It is not a loss of being. It's a loss of well-being. Don't quite agree with my friend. I think he was joking a bit. But a friend of mine, who liked to do evangelistic golf. That was his excuse for taking Thursdays off to play golf. But he always got non-Christians come and play with him at the West Kent golf course. And he said, "You know what hell is, Trevor?" I said, "What's that?" He said, "It's a lovely golf course. I've got all the clubs, but there's not a golf ball in." I think it's a lot worse than that. But he was joking. "But you shall not perish, but have eternal life. It's now and future." John in his epistle says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. What are we? Are you sure about that? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Good. We are now children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Verse 17, I haven't marked up there on my... there, but in verse 17, Jesus stresses, he has not come to condemn. Some people get the idea that that's what it is when they see Christians, that God's come to condemn them. He hasn't. Hasn't come to condemn, has he? He's come to save. And verses 18 and 20, Jesus makes it clear. If you do not believe, you are condemned already. Verse 21, Jesus makes it clear. He does it as in the Sermon of the Mount. Do you remember the Sermon of the Mount? He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out, trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do people put a light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." What then should be our response to this good news? The gospel, John 3:16. Firstly, if we haven't already, we should believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. If we've done that, what then? I'm not a good preacher, but all good preachers have three P's, don't they? Well, firstly, praise and worship our God for all that he has done for us. We've done a bit of that this morning, haven't we? Praising him, declaring all he's done for us. Then pray for our loved ones, our neighbours, the community, and all language groups that are lost without Jesus. Thirdly, we should portray by our life and our works that we belong to Jesus and that he lives in us. And we need to do it with the Holy Spirit's help, with passion. Passion. given everything for us, we should give everything for him. Got out an old newspaper cutting. The editorial, I haven't told you when it was, have I? Do you want to know? I'm going to tell you anyway. It was the 30th of March, 2009. Thank you, dear. Good to have the wife along, isn't it? Bring you up to date. Yes, March the 30th, 2009. Just a bit of the editorial. Losing our faith. This is the Daily Newspaper. It is sometimes easy to forget that Britain, is a Christian nation with an established Anglican Church. Last week we discovered that the Act of Settlement may be repealed, allowing members of any or indeed no religion to marry into the royal family and theoretically at least eventually to ascend the throne. Now the BBC has already had a Sikh as producer of Songs of Praise, is expected to hire a Muslim as its head of religious programming. Both men may well be wise and talented, but they represent religions which together are observed by well under 5% of the population. Church of England bishops complain that the national broadcaster is marginalising the national religion, but they have only themselves to blame. Like the BBC, in their desperation to appear inclusive and tolerant towards minorities, they have long neglected and betrayed the interest of the majority. But talking about changing the law so that only the right people can ascend to the throne who may be not Christians. Last week and the week before, they have been changing that same Act of Settlement for the royal family. And do you know why they're doing it now? This is genuine. They want to make sure if a queen comes to the throne that she's a queen and not a queenie. And if a king comes to the throne that he is a king, a male, and not a other gender. That's only 5 years of the change in our nation. And this is a Jewish columnist. All right, I won't tell you the paper, you'll guess, but it's Melanie Phillips. She's talking about a bishop who's leaving the Church of England because he feels he can't promote the faith within it. Whether that was right or wrong, but it was the Bishop of Rochester. In any sane world, Michael Nazar Ali, a church leader whose intellects is matched by his courage and insight, should be appointed Archbishop of Canterbury to defend our society at this most dangerous time. Instead, he's out. The question now arises whether he will become the effective leader of the church in the third world, which is on the edge of schism over gay rights and women prayers. If that were to happen, he would become a formidable adversary of the current craven church leadership and the prevailing doctrine of appeasement and religious submission. But for the meantime, his departure threatens to make the church even more irrelevant and its capacity to prevent this country from going under weaker than ever before. That was only 5 years ago, friends. That is the nation in which we are. But that's looking at the general picture. But who are we? We are the salt of the earth. We are the light to stand upon a hill. So it's even darker. So guess what? We will shine brighter. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father who's in heaven. For God so loved the world. And so that's the challenge to us as we see the situation, that we are the light in a dark world. Why? Because we know we have the answer. Who is the answer? Jesus. Do you all agree? We all agree. He is the answer. And those our neighbours and our brothers, our sisters, our friends, our colleagues, they don't realise the situation they're in. But they are condemned already, because they haven't believed in Jesus. But the good news is, they can. Let us be living our lives so that they see Jesus. Where do we do it? In our daily living, don't we? Richard and Dieter, they're going to put their light shining bright in France. Janusz and Camilla and family, they're going to Poland via Brighton. What for? To let their light shine. And to shout to others with the good news of Jesus Christ. What are you and I going to do? We're going to do it in the kitchen. We're going to do it in the school. We're going to do it in the university. We're going to do it at a place of work. Because we want people to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. I was hearing just a few months ago now, doesn't matter, Dave, whatever his name is, who goes into Russia and everywhere. Dave Devenish, thank you very much. Dave Devenish. There is a prison where the guards are too frightened to go in because of those that are in their mates. But guess what's happened? Half of the inmates come to believe on Jesus. They've appointed their own elders. They've established a church. They've got to fulfill the penalty of the law. But having done that, they're in there rejoicing because they come to believe in the Lord Jesus. Isn't that thrilling? There's people out all around here that are imprisoned, but they don't know it. Some of them do. They're in prison. They need release. Folks, we have the answer. Let us let our light shine. I want us to sing a song and do it as a worship and a praise and a recommittal. It's coming up in a minute on the overhead to the Londonderry Air, or the old tune, Old Danny Boy. For God so loved the world, I find it written. Here it comes. In verse 16, John Gospel, chapter 3, he gave his son who was for sinners smitten when nailed upon the cross at Calvary. Such wondrous love, it passes human knowledge. For Jesus died that we might ever live eternal life, so none need ever perish. This life to all believing souls in how we give. Pray that if there's anybody here who does not know you, hasn't put their name in the whosoever, that you will enable them to respond now by your Spirit. And Lord, I just pray for everyone here that during this coming week we will have the joy of being lights in a dark world. That we will be truly salt and light, so that others will see Christ lives in me and want to love him too. Lord, do that, we pray.